I want to move into the Word of the Lord today, bring you a message that it's a message that I really first started preaching many, many years ago, and then I have preached it in some conferences, but during this time, the Lord has brought it back to my spirit. It's amazing how words and messages and things the Lord has spoken to you through your life will come back to you and become very meaningful to you during a unique time that you're going through. So we'll be going to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 9, verse 11 and 12. Ecclesiastes, it's called the book of the preacher. Verse number 11 and 12 of chapter 9. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. See, all of these seem to be the normal, natural, expected way that it would work out. But time and chance happeneth to them all. For man also knoweth not his time, as fishes that are taken in an evil net, as birds that are caught in a snare. So are the sons of men snared in an evil time when it falleth suddenly upon them. I'll be speaking to you this morning from the idea of time and chance. Lord, we ask you to bless the preaching of the word. We ask you to bless the hearing of the word. We ask you, Lord, that you would bless everyone that is tuned in their living rooms, kitchens, offices, wherever they may be today, and we are on the screen of their iPhone or iPad or on their monitor television in their home, we pray that the power of the Holy Ghost would come right into that place, that you would stir us and shake us one more time, and let your word become a lamp to our feet and a light to our pathway. Amen. God bless you as you come with me into the word of the Lord today. And we look to see what the preacher has to say. Ecclesiastes is commonly known as the book of the preacher, and it seeks to stir the soul. And with profound words, the preacher makes an astute observation of life. He says, time and chance happens to them all. Time and chance. Everyone will get some time. It's appointed unto man once to die. We don't know how much time we have, but everyone gets some time. And everyone gets a chance. This is the same book that gave us those profound words, to everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose. Contrary to how it feels sometimes, we are not randomly stumbling through life. But life is providing us time and chance. And when I use the word chance there, I don't use it in the concept of luck or good fortune or random activities, but it is in the context of opportunity. Time and opportunity comes to all of us. We're all going to get some time, and we're all going to get a chance. We're going to have chances. What you do with your time and what you do with your chances, with your opportunities in life, determine your destiny. What a unique time we're living in right now. We're kind of in the overlap here from shutdown and quarantine to startup and recovery. We're neither here nor there. We're not totally locked in like we were, but we're not opened up like we were. So we're in an overlap season. We've never been in times like we're in right now. We've never been in situations like we're facing right here. And yet, even these times, even where we are right now with all of the obvious limitations that we're dealing with, there are opportunities. Time comes with a chance. Time comes with an opportunity. Every single season of life presents with it unique opportunities, unique doorways. Jeremiah 8:20. makes it so plain and clear. This is a verse that has been a guiding verse in my personal ministry since I was a child. And just from season to season in my life, it comes back to the surface again. He says, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people, I am hurt, I am in mourning, and astonishment has taken hold of me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is there no recovery for the health of the daughter of my people? Now you know me. I've preached here many times. I am a faith preacher by nature. My default approach is just to believe God. Doesn't matter what situation I find myself in, I'm expecting something good is about to happen just any time now. I'm expecting if I'm in the deep, dark valley, I'm getting ready to come out. I'm expecting if I need money, it's about to show up in the mail. If I'm sick, I'm just about ready to get healed. I always live in this dimension of expectation that God is going to come through. Deliverance is about to take place. The enemy is about to be defeated. The victory is about to come. It is a life of walking by and living by faith. And that's just where I live. That's just where I breathe. And then the gift of faith comes and God puts it in my heart to believe for things that are extraordinary and beyond normal possibilities in life. And so when I land on verses like Jeremiah 8:20, just to be honest with you, it's just a little difficult. Difficult for me, just a little unsettling to the soul and to the spirit, because these verses possess the language of loss. It almost feels like they make the spirit a little sad, a little upset. I don't even like to read the verses, think about the verses, but yet the Bible teaches us in 2 Timothy 3:16 that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof. And for correction and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So there are times, and for that reason, that we have to pause and ponder this language of loss. Why is it there? What's its reason? How can I be made better as I think about the potential and the possibility? As I look at verses with this language, the harvest is past. The summer is ended. These are great moments. I love summertime. Of course, in Florida, it's always summertime. That must be why I moved here. It's always summertime in Florida, but I was raised in the north, and summertime arrived with relief. You were so glad that the long, dark, wintry nights had faded away, and you had to be pushed inside, kind of like quarantine. We were quarantined every year in the wintertime. Pushed inside by the cold, bitter, biting winds of cold weather. Somebody asked me last year, said, when is it winter time in Florida? I said, last year it was January the 26th and 27th. You get about 2 days of winter, gets a little cold, gets down to 50 degrees, and we all put our sweaters on, think we're freezing to death. But when you look at the seasons and the uniqueness of them and how they change, It's a wonderful thing when the winter time finally gives way, but you don't quite get there. You just get to springtime, and the drenching wet days of spring leave you neither here nor there. It's cold in the morning, warm in the afternoon, gets chilly again at night. So when the days of summer finally arrive, when they finally set in, it's a wonderful thing. Solomon described it probably with the best poetic fashion found in Scripture, in Song of Solomon 2:10. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past. The rain is over and gone. Winter and spring have disappeared. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing has come. The voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs. The vines with a tender grape give a good smell. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Summertime is a great season, abounding with new possibilities. The warm winds lift us upward and lift us outward. And we spend more time outside, and the lingering long hours of the summer where it's daylight far into the evening give us extra time to enjoy the great outdoors. Summertime is a time of activity and opportunity and accomplishment and getting things done. And weddings are planned in June because it's summertime is a time for love. And freedom is expressed in July. And long-awaited vacations are planned and taken in August. Summertime is just the time of doing it and getting it done and being involved and feeling accomplishment and feeling your freedom of life. How about harvest time? Harvest time is a great time. It's a season of reaping. During harvest time, the reward for your labor is realized. In harvest time, it's time to enjoy the bounty. Harvest time speaks of a time of plenty, a time of abundance, a time of overflowing. Empty, barren days are gone. Empty nets are a thing of the past. Want is not to be felt. During harvest time, there's more than enough. There's an overflow. The harvest is coming in. The check is not in the mail. The check is in the mailbox. It all starts happening. The prayers are actually answered. We're singing, look what the Lord has done. We're given testimony. It's not prayer request time. It's testimony service during harvest time. Most of the Christian experience is realized in our faithful expectation of things to come. Most of the Christian experience is lived out in having not seen, yet we believe. Most of the Christian experience, we live with bated breath of an expectation and an eternal hope, realizing that something better is on the way. But harvest time is different. At harvest time, the wheat is actually in the field. At harvest time, the fruit is actually on the branches. At harvest time, the baskets are full. At harvest time, the table is spread, and there's plenty, and there's more than enough, and it's overflow, and everything is being blessed, and you're generous, and you're living in the abundance of God's great blessing. And oh, what a time is harvest time. And Jeremiah crashes our party with his ominous toll of time. The harvest is past. The summer is ended. And just like that, the birds stop their singing. Cold fall breeze sweeps over the hillside. The last few green leaves are blown from the trees. The last tomatoes pulled from a wilting vine. Calendar page flips over in the winds of time, and it's gone. Just as quickly as it came, summer is ended. Harvest is over and done, and it's a new season. Now, it shouldn't at all be quite disturbing, really, if you think about it. I mean, summertime doesn't last forever, unless you live in Florida. Seasons were meant to come and go. We shouldn't be at all surprised. And harvest? Well, we all know it can't always be harvest time. The wisdom of the preacher that wrote these verses remind us that to everything there's a season. There's a time to harvest, but there's a time to plant. There's a time to sow. There's a time to reap. Both seasons have their purpose. Both seasons have their appointed time. So we shouldn't be at all surprised. In fact, both the harvest time and the summertime arrived with an expiration date. From the very first moment they started, they were already expiring. And that should be kind of exciting to you because everything has a time frame in this life. So the next time you start into a trial, the next time you start into a difficult season, the next time something grips your heart with grief or pain, just remember this. From the moment the first tear starts trickling down your cheek, from the moment you feel the very first pain of this new season of difficulty, the clock is ticking. You won't be there forever. You walk through a valley, but you keep taking enough steps, you're going to walk out on the other side. That everything has a season, but it doesn't come and stay. Weeping may endure for the night, but that's its time frame. Joy is going to take over in the morning, and a new season, a new time, and a new purpose. So why the alarm, Jeremiah? Why the lamenting tone in your voice as though some expected tragedy of monumental proportions has occurred simply because the summer is past and the harvest is ended? And of course you realize very quickly it's not the summer's end, nor is it the harvest passing that has Jeremiah so upset. And trust me when I tell you, he is upset. He is upset to the point he said, I am hurt. I am hurt for my people. I am in astonishment. He laments out with this lamentation. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician? Is there no healing? Is there no recovery? When are we going to experience what we were destined to experience? There's been a great harm here. I'm hurt. I'm concerned. And then he announces it. He makes it clear. He leaves no room for confusion. He explains with a piercing clarity the problem. We are not saved. Pastor, it was not that he was upset that summer ended. It's not that he was upset that harvest time ended. What he was upset about was as it came to a conclusion, he observed that they had not taken advantage of the opportunity. And I've come to stand here today and ask you, home in your living room, watching from wherever you are right now, I don't know if you realize it or not, but at least for a season, quarantine is coming to a close. Businesses are opening up. Church schedules are being reset. It won't be but just a few more hours. You'll be here in these altars and in these pews. This season of shutdown is closing down. But I am here today to give quarantine's altar call. I'm here to ask you, have you done what you were supposed to do with this season? Did you grow the way you were supposed to grow during this divine disruption, during this situation? I guess maybe because I'm getting older. I had my birthday during quarantine. I've turned 55. I'm realizing that with every passing year, opportunities are disappearing like the setting sun. And perhaps, Pastor, there are more seasons and opportunities behind me than there are before me. And that causes me to realize I cannot afford to miss my moments. I cannot afford to come to opportunities and let them slip by and be in some kind of a drunken stupor, just making my way through life like a comatose Christian. Jesus himself brought forth such a profound lamentation when he beheld the city of Jerusalem and wept over it, saying, if thou hast known even thou in the least of these in thy day, the things which belong to thy peace, but now they are laid hid and they are hid from thine eyes. The day shall come upon thee that thy enemies shall cast a trench about thee. They will compass thee round about and keep thee on every side. They will lay you even with the ground and thy children with thee. And they shall not leave in thee, speaking to Jerusalem, one stone upon another. And then he says, why? Because thou hast not known the time of your visitation. I suggest to you today that this may have been a shutdown, but it's also been a time of visitation. Do we even know it? I ask you today, are you even aware? Have you fulfilled the purpose for which this season came to begin with? If you haven't, you better move with urgency and quickness, because I'm telling you, the winds have already begun to blow in the new direction. The new season is already being born. The labor pains of the next phase are already happening. We're going to be thrust forward into a new normal, a new paradigm, a new way of doing business. I might caution you, the leaders of the church, along with the entire congregation, if all we are is looking with longing eyes of going back to where we were, if all we want to do is just get back to the way it was before virus and before shutdown, if all we are is celebrating getting back, then I say you have missed the point entirely. We have missed the point. If all we care about is getting back, we have missed the point of our visitation. My brothers and sisters, God could have stopped the virus the very first person that got it. Knowing all things and knowing that this thing would come to such a point, he could have stopped it in its tracks. He could have adjusted the responses of people and governments and political powers and forces that are seeking to manipulate these circumstances for global good. But he didn't. He could have orchestrated a different response, but he allowed it to happen knowing that churches across the world would be shut down. So while some spend all their time complaining about what the government's doing and fussing about the decisions they're making, others spend their time fussing about what other churches are doing and the timetable they're on. I made up my mind that I am looking toward heaven. I want to know what God's doing. God, you could have stopped it, but you didn't. You could have adjusted it, but you allowed it. It seems to me that it was up to you, and you allowed us to go into this season of quarantine and shutdown. Now let me pause to say, surely the spirit of Antichrist has done everything possible to manipulate this season to accomplish world government, world economy, socialism, and all of those things. There are diabolical evil forces that are working behind the scenes to manipulate this season to their good, to steal away our freedoms and limit it going forward into the future. But I believe that God has a purpose that is beyond the purpose of Antichrist. Every time God's doing something, the devil's always trying something different. And you got to make up your mind, and I did a long time ago. I am not looking to find out what the devil's doing. I'm always looking to find out what's God doing. What changes have you made in your life during shutdown? What advancements have you achieved? I remember when things first went down, Pastor, and all the memes and everything were going around. Somebody put one out, showed an empty church, said the church has left the building. That was a good thing. It was a good thing. That was okay. The silence is deafening in this sanctuary. I'm guessing you're saying amen at home. Hallelujah. I was preaching along one of these messages to my computer screen from my house a few weeks ago, and I was really waxing deep in the word, and somebody gave me a text, came right up on my phone, said, Brother Kleinitz, I've moved so much, I started to the altar and ran into the TV screen. What a day we're living in. But I ask you, in these final waning moments, here we are at the midnight hour of this season, getting ready for the dawn of a new season. I ask you, did you accomplish the purpose of this season and why it came to begin with? Maybe God wanted us to realize that we had become a little too self-centered, a little too turned inward. And part of the purpose of this season was that we get our eyes on the harvest out there. Doing these broadcasts and coming on Facebook and all of this stuff has reminded us that there's a world out there that might come across this, might be listening. We've all become a little more conscious. We became more generous during this season. These are some of the things I feel were God's purposes that we accomplished in this season. Not only did we get outside the building, we've started having church in our home and things of this nature, but we became more generous. I was preaching before this thing ever happened. We went through a season of wonderful blessing and generosity given into our lives. I'll come back and preach it to you when you're allowed to come to church. Back, remember the days back when we used to all go to church? But during that time, I was saying one of the things God is trying to do in the church is he's trying to get us to open up our hearts and our generosity to one another. We need to take care of our church first. We have to, especially during this season, remember that your tithing and your offering and the support of the local church. We have to give to our church. But one thing that this quarantine has done is caused us to open up our generosity to each other. Just out here in the foyer as I came in this morning, they've got boxes of hope. They're putting together things that they can give out and help people, days worth of food and supplies, because we realize there are people that are in need that they're not working. They may not have money. They may not have access. I know my own mother, she's up in age and has some physical conditions. And so she's a little nervous about going out and being around big crowds. And so I've been extra conscious of making sure I can get things to her that she would need. We've opened up our hearts. I believe we need to take that from this season into the next season. Once we're gathering here and shouting here again, we have to take that same focus on the lost world and that same focus of generosity. We've become more connected and more concerned. This is the oddest thing. We can't get together. We haven't seen some of you in person for weeks at a time now. But it seems like in many ways we become more connected. I'm doing Zoom calls and Facebook Lives, and you're checking up on people, calling them on the phone. And we've been more connected. We're not just connecting at church, saying praise the Lord and shaking hands, but we're staying connected beyond it. So when we come back to church, when we're able to stand at the door and greet you and say, praise the Lord and good to see you, let's don't leave that behind. That was part of the purpose of the season, that we would get more concerned about one another between Sunday to Sunday. And not just the staff, but the church as a body being more concerned. We've been more conscious of the lost. I've seen more evangelism, Acts 2:38. I've seen more emphasis on the baptism of the Holy Ghost, people witnessing to their neighbors and their friends and watching together online than I've ever seen before. We've had more prayer and worship in our homes than probably at any time in your life. Your Bibles have been open. You've gathered your families in your living rooms. My wife and I, through the month of April, from our kitchen table, did a Tuesday night family-focused prayer. We pray for an hour online with people joining us with their families. We've worshiped more. We've prayed more. We've gathered our families together for worship. Now it's the will of God, in case the enemy is messing with your mind. It is the will of God that we come back to church. The Bible said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. It is the will of God that we gather. There is strength you can get at church you don't get by yourself. One puts 1,000, but 2, 10,000. There is a power in the gathering of God's people. When our praises go up in corporate unity, when we come together in unity, there is an anointing release that you don't get by yourself. I've said for years there are some dimensions of the Spirit you can't get to no matter how much you fast and pray, no matter how spiritual you are. The access, the key through that door is you go through in unity. So it is the will of God that we begin to gather again in the house of God. But it is also the will of God that we continue to have worship in our homes, that we continue to read the Bible in our house, that we continue to have prayer in our home. God's purpose for this season was to show us some things we were leaving undone and shut. Hey, it must have been important for him to shut everything down. I mean, Disney World is shut down. All the sports are shut down. I mean, all the businesses are shut down. He just didn't close church. He closed it all. Said, now what are you going to do? And we have been praying and worshiping in our homes. Don't let these things slip through your fingers like sands through the hourglass of time. As the new opportunity presents itself before us, we're getting ready to open the doors to the house of God. As this new season unfolds, we are one more time given time and chance. We're going to be given a chance to worship together again. When you walk in here and get a chance to worship, how are you going to be different? Are you going to worship any different than you used to? We're going to get a chance to pray together again. We're going to get a chance to be saved again, to get to the waters of baptism in the church, a chance to get baptized with the congregation here, celebrating with you, rejoicing with you, being a part of everything, gather around you and pray with you. Amen. We're going to be together again. The opportunities are about to come to us. I thought about this. I don't know when the last service was here. I think around March 15th. That's when my last open service was with a congregation full of people. I wonder how we'd have been different if we knew that night, that Sunday night, March 15th in the house of God. Some of you probably didn't even come. Didn't come when you could have. Now lamenting that you can't get here. See, we let opportunities slip right through our fingers. But I wonder how we'd have been different if we'd have known. Tonight's my last night to worship with the saints. Tonight's my last chance to walk down to an altar with the praise team singing and worshiping, people praying and speaking in tongues all around me. This is my life. For 2 months, I won't be able to get back to that altar. I won't be able to get back to my seat. I won't be able to be back among the saints of God. I wonder how we'd have been different if we would have known the season we were getting ready to walk into. I've come to just lift up a prophetic alarm in your ears this morning and tell you a new season is about to come. This is quarantine's altar call. I'm just giving the altar call on that season. Whatever you didn't do, you need to pray and repent. You need to ask God, let my heart get right. Whatever you should have done and didn't do, if you just laid back and relaxed and not done anything, you've missed the season of growth. How many times I hear people say, if I just had more time, I'd really get my prayer life going. I just really wish I could study the Word of God. We've had 2 months to do it. Did we do it? If not, you ought to fall on your face right there in your living room. If not, you ought to get down with your family right there and say, we've missed an opportunity, but God's going to give us another one because time and chance just keeps happening. We're going to get some more time here. I don't know how much time we have. I don't know how many more opportunities we're going to have. But behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. There is a new opportunity being born. When you get a chance to walk in here, you shouldn't come in here lackadaisical. You shouldn't come in here ho-hum. You need to come in here like it's a privilege to walk back into the house of God. God is opening. God shut the doors down, and God is going to open the doors back up. It was God that shut the door to the ark, and it was God that opened the door to the ark. I know you can look at everybody else and say they did it. I believe God did it. And when God opens the door and says, come on in, we need to be like David and say, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. But God wanted us to learn something, and we better have learned it. Don't come back in the same condition you left. My God, don't come back worse than you left. Come back with a shout. Come back with a liberty. Come back with a thanksgiving in your heart. Come back so thankful to be in the house of God. Come back ready to worship. I believe there needs to be a sense of urgency in our spirit. Wherever you're at, musicians, you can gather with me here on the platform as we go into our time of prayer and altar call here. I'm calling you to the altars. Turn your sofa into an altar. Get down. Get your family right now. Get down around the sofas and the chairs and around the coffee table. Lay right out there on the floor and let's begin to call out to God and pray. Say, Lord, I want to be changed. You made such a dramatic shift in church. God, you brought a divine visitation to my life and to my church. The entire world has never been through anything. God has been trying to get our attention. God, I want you to know you have my attention. God, whatever you want me to do, whatever you want me to be, I am ready, oh Lord. Come on, somebody. Lay hands on your little children there by you. Your teenagers, pray through. Come on. Come on, teenager. We didn't go through anything like this when we were teenagers. You're living in unprecedented times. You need the power of God flowing through you. Lift your hands up and begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Right there in your... That's what God wanted. That was His purpose for this season, that you would pray at home, that you would be filled with the Spirit in your house, that you would feel the power of angels walking through your living room. Come on, you got to do it right now. This is one of your last chances to do it there. Bring the power of God right into that home. If you feel like getting up and walking around and praying, do that. If you want to bow down by the living room or by the coffee table, if you're at the kitchen table, lean over on that table and begin to pray. The voice of travail needs to be heard in your household. The voice of prayer needs to be heard. Walk them halls. Walk into them bedrooms. Lift up the name of Jesus. Accomplish God's purpose. It's time and opportunity that has come to all of us to do something in our houses that we had left undone. This afternoon, call somebody on the phone and check on them. God, I don't want to let this season slip through my fingers and have not accomplished or grown or become what you wanted me to do. Don't come back to the church half backslid in your spirit. Come back, pray through. Say, Pastor, we've been talking in tongues at home. We've been laying hands on each other at home. We got healed in our house. We felt the angels of the Lord with us. And when we gather in God's house, we'll bring that anointing with us. We'll bring that faith with us. We'll bring that power of God with us. I pray over you right now as the musicians are preparing to sing their song of close. I pray over you right now in the name of Jesus. Don't let it be said, quarantine came and left, and yet we were unmoved, unchanged, unshaken. We just came through it all with no adjustments. We didn't respond to God. We didn't melt our hearts under His mighty hand of visitation. God, I come before You today. And Lord, I melt in Your presence. Come on, lift up Your voice. Lift up Your voice right there in your living room. Lift up Your voice right there in that office, right there in that car, wherever you are. Lift your voice and call out to God. God, shut everything down that we would turn our attention toward heaven and that we would call on Him. Come to us, Lord. Come to us, Lord. Come to us, Lord. Come right down to where we are.
Lord, whatever You're doing in this season, don't do it without me.
Time and chance.
Don't do it without me.
Come on, you've got a chance. Right now, while they sing, you have a chance.
Whatever You're doing in this season,
this whole broadcast will be over in a few minutes. I speak faith into You. I speak healing into You. I speak strength into You in the name of Jesus. I release angel visitations to come to You right now. May the anointing destroy the yokes. Spirit, one more time.
Whatever You're doing in this season, don't do it without me. Don't do it
call
without
out.
Me.
Call out as a family.
Lord,
call out as a marriage.
Whatever You're doing,
if it's just You there, You're not alone.
Season,
the Lord is there.
Don't do it without.
Spirit, in the mighty name of the Lord, I speak the name of Jesus over you. Be filled with the Holy Spirit.